If you have your Bible today, I invite you to take your Bible and stand underneath it and bear witness of God's Word. Hold it in the air. That will be our authority that we're using this morning. You may be seated. Two places I would like you to turn to, if you will. Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2. That's our Old Testament passage this morning. And then Hebrews chapter 11. Exodus chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 11. I want to thank those that sang this morning, praising the Lord. And I want to thank Chandler and Daisy as they represented the youth. I also want to thank all the youth that wrote in, enlightening to be able to read what they wrote, celebrating Mother's Day today. Understanding that the mother is the ultimate picture of someone who is depended on. The child depends on the mother as they start life in the womb. And then as soon as they come into the world, the nourishment depends on the mother. That mother is in a place of high dependency. They're the first interaction that every human being has with the revelation, even in an unformed intellect of a child that knows that they can't depend on themselves. Webster defines depend as to rely for a livelihood, support, etc., to rely on. You know, it makes us feel good when someone depends on us. Ultimately, our life is a dependence on others as others depend on us. I'm not trying to get philosophical with you today, but God took my mind down a path of just thinking about the importance of this and understanding that the ultimate judgment of our life is based on whether or not we have chosen to believe and depend on God. And so understand the importance of this. If our mind is never shaped to a point to where we realize that we have to depend on someone besides ourselves, we will never accept the fact that we need to depend on God. And God knew that when He created us. He knows that we have a self-sufficiency in ourselves that make us think that we can depend on ourselves. If you want it done, you need to do it yourself, right? And we have that in our mind. But also understand the value of dependence. You know, as I think and as I ask God just to put in my mind the significance of this, I began to realize that every relationship that we have in life is basically graded, exalted, or diminished by the amount of dependence that's in it. Every relationship, whether it be husband-wife, whether it be friend, whether it be brother-sister, whether it be church member, every relationship, there has to be dependence on each other in order to make the bond. And when one of those people decides either that they don't want to be depended on or that they'll just depend on themselves, think about it. Every relationship breaks. You see, we are creatures made by God that only exist in a fruitful way when we are depending on each other. Why is that? Because God knew ultimately that our life on this earth and the actions that we put forth in this body are judged on whether we have chosen to depend on God or depend on ourselves. I didn't mean to get deep from the beginning, but understand, the person that never accepts the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior to come to God has put their dependence in their own self, in their own intellect, in what they think. The person who has accepted to come to God through the Lord Jesus Christ has come to God in faith, saying, I depend on something I can't see, but I believe, I trust in God. And you say, why are we made this way? Well, I want you to understand, and again, not wanting to get too deep to begin with, but I want you to understand the significance of our dependence on God. We are made in the image and likeness of God. That's what the Bible tells us. So if we are made to where our fruitful relationship depends on dependence, don't you know that when you take the Bible and begin to read that what God wants the most for us is to love Him with all of our heart, all of our mind, and our soul? You know what He wants us to do? God wants us to depend on Him. We're made in the image of Him. God has a desire that we depend on Him like a father. And I'm not saying use Him as a crutch and only come to Him when you can't depend on yourself. He wants us to depend on Him at all times. Amen. And in a day we talk about mothers, then we can see this example. What an exemplary creation of utter dependence that we have. I want to tell you something that you might not have thought this morning, but you will before you leave. Someone is depending on you. Someone is depending on you. Someone is depending on not you and your actions. Christian, someone is depending on your faith. We coast through life sometimes and we take it as it comes, but we forget that someone is depending on us. And I had told you to turn to Exodus and Hebrews. Those taking notes, I want to give you this little scripture that I put in here to let you see something that I think is paramount. First of all, just to paraphrase Isaiah chapter 44, 2, the Bible tells us that we are formed in our mother's womb. Psalms 139 tells us that we are made in a way that we can't even understand. Psalms 22, as David wrote this, listen to what he said. He said, but thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. You see, for God to tell us we were formed in our mother's womb, God's telling us He's working with mothers to structure the physical life of a child, and then the emotional life of the child, and then the spiritual life of the child. He starts with mothers first. Isn't that amazing? He chose that creature. Mothers, I called you a creature, but you understand what I'm saying. That creation to work together with first in every person's life. Glory to God. He must have known something. David, the psalmist, when he said, thou took me out of the womb, he's talking to God, but he said, thou did make me to hope when I was upon my mother's breast. You know what he was saying? You caused me to trust in you from my mother's breast. What are you talking about? And are we even supposed to go here in church? Yes. What is he saying? Before I was a child, before I could form a sentence, before I could have a tangible thought that I could communicate, I was laid on my mother's breast and I was taught that I depend on someone else for life. And it was natural for me to know that I depended on somebody. That is what David was saying. You taught me to trust in you. You get what he's saying? He said, unless I was a child that came out of the womb and was made to know that my life depended on someone else, I would have never come to God Almighty. Isn't that big? You see, God works within our mother and then works with the mother to show every individual that they are not self-sufficient. Every individual depends on someone else, and it starts with the mother. Glory to God. He knew what he was doing. Now, I told you in Exodus, so I want to talk about a story here that I think God will open to us today. In Exodus chapter 2, well, you know this story, maybe you've read it before, but I want to set it up for you by telling you what happened in Exodus chapter 1. In Exodus chapter 1, understand that Joseph, and you remember Joseph had been set over all that was in Egypt. His brothers had sold him into slavery. Joseph had the anointing of God. He had the Spirit of God on him. He came to be to where he went from being a slave and went from being a prisoner to running Egypt. God spoke to him through visions and dreams, and he was able to lead not only Egypt, he was able to save his family. So during this time, his family moved to Egypt. These are the sons of Jacob, the children of Israel, Jacob being named Israel. And as they came, they settled in a place in Egypt. And as they settled in this place, understand that everyone knew about Joseph. So that family was highly honored, even though they were foreigners there. The children of Israel, those descendants of Jacob, were honored. Why? Because Joseph saved our country. What happened was, as time went on, and those people began to die, and other people were born, the people began to forget that it was not just Joseph, but the God of Joseph that saved Egypt and did these miraculous things. You see, Joseph never told anyone that it was him doing it. Joseph said, I depend on God. There's our word again. Say it with me. I what? I depend on God, and God is doing this. God has shown me this. God has said this. God said we will do this. God will provide in the time of famine. So he always did that. And so Joseph depended on God. The nation of Egypt depended on Joseph. And so he was honored. But verse 8 says, there came a time in Exodus 1 where a new king came. Listen. It says, there arose up a new king over Egypt. Now listen how important this is, which knew not Joseph. You know what it's saying there in that simple verse? That king didn't know anything about who Joseph depended on. He didn't know any of those actions. There was a new king. Evidently, he didn't know because the king made a decree. He began to look at the logistics of Egypt and say, there's too many of these Israelites here. These slaves, you see, God had blessed them to where they were fertile. They were reproducing. Their number was growing, and the king began to panic. It was a political move. He said, what's going to happen is all of these people are going to outnumber us, or they're going to get so much in number that if they join with our enemies, they'll defeat us. And not only will we be defeated, we won't have them as our workers anymore. So we need to suppress them. We need to have them making bricks and mortar, and they still multiplied and multiplied. And the harder it got, the more they multiplied. Why? Because God's favor was on them. They were God's people. They were under a covenant relationship with God. And that's the way it works. But that didn't satisfy the king. So the king said, I'll put out a decree. So he called the midwives. Understand, when a woman had a child, they weren't going to the birthing unit up here at the hospital. They had a child. A midwife was called in. And he instructed the midwives to tell all the other midwives, and you can read this in here, when a male child is born, that male child needs to be killed. You know, he was thinking in his mind, we don't want to have an army that rises up against us. The women are okay, but kill the male children. Well, don't you know? Those midwives, they feared God and they knew that was the wrong thing to do. So they defied the king's order. The king was upset, but when they came to those women, the women said, but king, these women are strong. They have their babies before that we even get there. The king said, well, I'll fix that. I'm going to put out a decree that all the children, male children, that are born in Egypt to the Hebrew women are to be thrown into the Nile River to be killed. Wicked, right? Making a decision to be able to kill every male child as if he had the power to choose life. It's a good time to remind you that God doesn't give any person the right to choose whether or not they want a child to live or die. Mother's Day, I think, would be the most appropriate time to remind you of that. Right. Man's never had the right to choose whether a child lives or dies. Right. You see, that means man would have taken on the assumption that this world is dependent on how many people he says are in here. Or this world is dependent on him to take care of that child or her to take care of that. That's not the way it is. You see, man didn't create the child. Oh, sure they did. You know the science of it? I know the science of it. I know who made the people. God gives life. It is not for man to take. And God's going to use the mother of this child that was born in Egypt. You see, that person that was making the decrees, they didn't know that everything depended on God. They had forgotten. You see, years had passed and hundreds of years, and there was a time when that society knew, even Egypt, that if you want to make it through everything, you need to depend on God. Now listen, this is timely for what you're going through. Hopefully you can make this relationship in your mind, okay? There is a time when a society can begin to forget that without depending on God, you won't make it through. It doesn't matter who's making the laws or how good they sound. If you're not depending on God, you won't make it. You can say, well, I think this person has a good idea, and I think this person, or did you hear this interviewer? I think this politician, or I think this person. If that person's not depending on God, you can't depend on them. Amen. Now, this child that's going to be born in this time of conflict, where there's a decree that every Hebrew child is to be, male child is to be killed. This child is going to be a child that millions of people depend upon. Read Exodus 2 with me. And there was a man. There went a man out of the house of Levi and took a wife and daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when he saw that he was a goodly child and hid him, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit that would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along the river bank. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child. And behold, the babe wept, and she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call thee to nurse a Hebrew woman, that she may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name, what? Moses. And she said, "Because I drew him out of the water." The story of Moses. You see, we see that there was a man and woman who had a male child in Egypt during this time of the king's decree. They were supposed to kill him because he was a male Hebrew child. They were supposed to throw him into the Nile River. These parents were Hebrew. They were from the tribe of Levi. They chose not to obey the king's order. So the mother hid the son for 3 months after the son was born. You see, the first decision that she had to make, we always talk about, well, listen, what happened here? Well, we know the story of Moses that the mother took the child Moses and put him in a basket. No, the first thing she had to do was decide not to kill him. We're way before the basket. We're way before this was revealed to her what she should do. She had to choose not to throw the child in the river. You see, that decision point came before she had the child. That decision point came, you see, she could have had a female child. That female child would have lived. Can you imagine the anticipation, knowing, hey, listen, I wonder what my child's going to be. I wonder what my child's going to be. If it's a girl, I get to keep her. If it's a boy, I have to kill him. We don't think about what she was going through in her mind. she carried this child around. She made a decision not to kill her child. She made a decision to go against what the king said. Now understand, the king was making logical sense to a lot of people. There were people agreeing with him, saying, hey, this shouldn't happen. We need to do this for population's sake. We need to do this for economic's sake. We need to do this. You hear those decisions made today, right? When a society can decide that you can choose to kill who you want to kill before they become someone who can speak against it. I can't imagine that kind of thing happening back then. And yet we say we've progressed so much in intellect, I can't imagine that kind of thing happening right now. You see, she had to make a decision. And it's a good time to tell you, if you want to find out the name of this woman and her husband, you could go to Exodus 6 and look and you'll find the name. The father's name was Amram. The mother's name was Jochebed. Jochebed. You never hear her name in this story, and you hear it later on it. You see, it wasn't her name that she was known by. She was known as the mother of Moses. And isn't that so many times what happens to mothers? You become somebody's mother. You lose your name. Your name becomes mom, right? And your name becomes mom, and you answer to mom, even though everyone else's name is mom also. But you're like that. You know, I saw this thing where this little island with a million penguins were on this island, and all those mothers went out to sea and came back with all these chicks that were there, and it blew my mind to know that mother could come in the million of different little penguins and call, and that child knew the mother's call, and the mother knew the child's call. In the middle of all those calls that sound like mom, they knew which one was their child, right? As a matter of fact, I'll go ahead and tell you, I'm surprised that we can even celebrate Mother's Day today. Wouldn't this be some kind of politically incorrect thing that should have been taken away by now? To celebrate a woman for her ability to be able to raise a child? Aren't we missing so much more that they can do? Isn't this casting women in a bad light that they raise children and the children depend on them? Oh, there's so much more. Hey, listen, it's only a matter of time before you'll hear somebody calling Mother's Day sexist. You'll hear them calling Mother's Day something else because they've said, oh, there's so much more they can do. This minimalizes them. Understand, I want you to realize the significance. God put this position in motherhood to be the position that taught the child the first step of dependence. If the child never learns dependence, you see, we think from society and all these intellectual people who have these psychological degrees that tell us what's going to best benefit, that we need to be able to make that child independent. There's a time when it happens like that, but the first thing you teach them is dependence. And then you have another group that teaches that they need to stay dependent on the parents because they want that person to be dependent on the parents and then to be dependent on some other system to take care of them, and they never have their independence. Boy, we've really toyed with this thing, right? Can I tell you how it's supposed to work? God said, I'm going to make this child dependent on this mother. You see, on the mother, on the female. In case we aren't looking for all those people who think it can work a different way, unless that man is born with milk-giving breast, he's not qualified to have that child. I'm not talking about two men. I'm not talking about two women. I'm talking about the way that God said, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother. He put those two together. God made it to where only the man and woman could produce the child. It's a picture of the one flesh. For this reason shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they become one flesh. God made the man and the woman anatomically where they fit together. So when they fit together, they become one flesh. The product of that is one flesh. It doesn't take a genius to figure that out. But somewhere we've forgotten that. And why did he make it that way? Because The woman depends on the man, and the man depends on the woman. And when the child is born, he depends or she depends on both of them. And as the child grows up, those people get older. And as the parents get older, guess what happens? The cycle of life, and the parents start depending on the child. Relationship. Life is a pattern of dependence. And somewhere in the middle of all that dependence, we need to realize that we ultimately have to depend on God. Amen. Isn't that crazy? Amen. Now, let's talk a little bit about what happened here. You see, she chose to hide the child, but then she chose to take the next step in saving her child. She did something that completely showed her trust in God. She made a basket out of bulrushes. And some translations will say the papyrus, which was the stem of a plant that grows near the water, which is something the Egyptians used to make all kind of things. They wove it together, the stems, to make rope, to make sandals, to make all kind of things. One of the neat things, and I think this is quite a bit of foreshadowing here, that papyrus plant was mostly used as they ground it and flattened it out to make what we call paper. Now, isn't it amazing that little Moses was put in a basket of papyrus, which they used to make paper, and he was the one that ended up writing the Torah? The first five books were given. I mean, you think God knew? Yeah. Let's give this picture out here, right? You know, verse 4 tells us that she put Moses in the basket. It tells us the child's sister stood at the distance to see what would happen to him. Now think about this. Moses, as we learn in his genealogy, Moses had a sister, and we know her name is Miriam. He had a brother. We know his name is Aaron. The mother put Moses in the basket. She put him in the water by the reeds. I've heard that she floated him down the river. It says she put him over where the current wasn't going. She put him in the reeds. And then her sister, his sister, she said, "You stand here and watch and see." Watch and see what? Do you think she just left him there for chance? No. She knew what was going on. She had a plan in her mind. The sister stood and watched. And you might think it wasn't a good plan, but the mother knew that the plan would have to have God's intervention. I want you to even see here, in the first step, the mother, Jochebed, was depending on God. The father was depending on God. Why? They chose not to kill their child. But then after 3 months, where they kept the child, imagine a three-month-old child. How can you hide a three-month-old child? When you're working and you're putting it somewhere and you're trying to hide it, then the baby begins to cry and the baby is getting bigger, you can't do it. So what happens? Then you have to make a decision, because understand, if they find out that you've defied the king's order, then not only may that child be taken and killed, your other children could be taken and killed. So here's the decision that has to be made. I want you to understand the significance that was going on in Jochebed's mind. What am I going to do? It wasn't a bad plan. It was a great plan. But it wasn't a plan that depended on her. It was a plan that depended on God. Each step of this, you don't know that she knew the next step. And that's the beauty. She depended on God. Verse 5 tells us that Pharaoh's daughter, the king's daughter, came down to the river to bathe. She had her servants with her. When Pharaoh's daughter saw the basket in the reeds, she sent one of the servants to get it. When she opened the basket, the baby began to cry. We see in verse 6, and Pharaoh's daughter, I love it. It says she had compassion on the child. Do you see that? She had compassion on the child. And she said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." What does that compassion mean? That means that she stepped out of her role as Pharaoh's daughter. And I'm trying to uphold everything that Pharaoh is saying. And she went back to that maternal, that natural instinct that was in her. She saw a child, and she had compassion. And she said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." What happened in her mind? Listen, click, 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 click in her mind. "We shouldn't be killing those children. Look at this child. Look at the life of this child. This baby is beautiful. We shouldn't be killing these children. Here I found this baby. I can't kill this child. Now I found it. What am I going to do?" Boom. Here's the sister. "Hey, ma'am. Hey, ma'am. Listen, I see the child you found. You see, Moses' sister put it in such a way as to let the future queen or Pharaoh's daughter understand that she had ownership now of the child. She found it. Would you like me to go and get a Hebrew woman to nurse that child? You see, there's plenty of Hebrew women that were nursing or that could nurse with milk because their babies had been killed. The idea sounded good. She said, go, go. Well, the sister went to her mother and she said, Mom, come to Pharaoh's daughter. It sounds like a plan that would have never worked out. I can't see that anybody could have planned it out that way. I can only see that God could have made it work that way. But I see that he laid it on Jochebed's heart what to do. Why else would she put a basket in the river? You're still putting a basket in the river, in the Nile River, which is full of crocodiles. You're putting a basket in the river. And why is the queen even coming, or the future queen, why is Pharaoh's daughter coming down to bathe with all the facilities that they have? Have you ever seen the baths in the Egyptian places? Why is she coming down to the river? But this is something that she did. And Jochebed knew that she did it. And she had a plan, but she didn't hatch that plan. God put it in her mind and she had peace with it. So she trusted. She depended on God's leadership to do something that she didn't know the result. The result was invisible. But she depended on him. And what did God do? He rewarded her dependence. Not only, I mean, get this, it's unfathomable. You see, this baby that she put in a basket. And I think about it, I don't want to minimize this because there were so many different key things here from the time that she decided to keep that child. Going against the king's decree, she was risking her safety every day and her family's safety. From the time that she made the basket or got the basket and she covered it with the pitch and the tar, she knew she was going to put her child in. Those were long days there. I'm going to give my baby up. I'm going to give my baby up. I'm going to give my baby up. But I have to give my baby up because look at my other two babies over here. And what happens? Can you imagine what's going on with her? And she said, you know, I'm going to depend on God. God, you put this in my mind. So that's one thing making it. But can you imagine putting the child in that basket? When you actually lay the child in that basket and you put it in the water and you do this? She had to let that basket go. And she went back. And she said, Miriam, would you go watch and see what happens? Don't you know when Miriam came back to her and said, Mom, Pharaoh's daughter wants you to come and nurse your own child. Boy, that's what an affirmation to depend on God, right? Amen. She nursed that child. And I guess there's a point that in studying, I don't want to dwell on, but I want to point out here. Pharaoh's daughter, she seems to be a footnote in the story, a vehicle that got Moses into there, but I want you to make sure that you understand. She had a key part in this. She is the one that had compassion. And understand, Pharaoh's daughter, by what we know in the Word, ended up trusting God and even participating in the Passover. Right. You see, she became dependent on God. God was working on her at the same time. She could have chosen to go along with the king's decree, but she also chose to defy the king's decree. As she was looking at the baby and knowing she found the baby. You see, I think this is amazing here and ironic, and I do want to point it out. This king made a decree because he wanted everybody to depend on his knowledge and the knowledge of all those people around him, right? And even in his decree, he said, let's kill all the male children. Right? What he didn't understand was that beginning at the midwives that defied the decree, and then you go to Jochebed that defied the decree, and then you go to Miriam that defied the decree that helped, and then you go to his own daughter that defied the decree. Maybe he should have chosen the women instead of the men, because the women are the one that upended his plan, right? They were depending on something else, something that was natural. What's natural? I want to take you back. What's natural? When that child is laid upon the mother's breast, they learn dependence. You can't depend on your own mind all the time. You can't depend on your own self. You have to be able to depend on God. Pharaoh's daughter told Moses' mother, Jochebed, take this child in verse 9 and 10, nurse it for me, and I'll pay you. Are you kidding me? Not only are you going to get to keep your child, the child's going to live, you're going to nurse your own child, you're going to keep your own child, I'm going to pay you for doing it. Isn't God just that way? The Bible says that she called his name Moses, Pharaoh's daughter named Moses, because she drew him out of the water. How in the world did this happen? How did this child Moses go from being destined to be killed upon birth, to being a child that was raised by his own natural mother, nursed by his own mother, cared for by his own mother, until, as most theologians say, he was about 5 years old. He stayed with her until that time. And then after that, he was taken to the palace. He was educated. He was cared for. He was put in a position to where he could see the way the country worked, the way society worked, the way the people worked. But you know what he couldn't get away from? He couldn't get away from the fact that he was a Hebrew. Amen. That he was in a covenant relationship with God. And how could he have that in his mind? His mother. You see, God let him be nurtured by his mother. Amen. And she gave him more than milk. You see, he depended on her for that, but she gave him way more. Mothers, listen, God made you to be in a position to where your child naturally depends on you, but they depend on more than the physical sustenance you give them. They depend on more than that. They depend on your faith. Amen. Don't you know that as Moses grew, he knew something amazing happened. Moses was a very smart person. He knew that there was a time when his mother and his dad chose to defy the king's order to save him. He knew there was a time that they depended on God. He knew the story about the basket. You can't grow up with your sister there and this and that. Remember? You know how that goes with children. He knew what happened. He remembered that his mother depended on God when she put him in that basket. He remembered that his mother depended on God and she delivered. That's why he was there. And even as she grew up in Pharaoh's house, as he grew up in Pharaoh's house, his mother would let him know who he was. He knew he was different. You see, it happened because a mother knew that the only way to save her child was to put her faith in God to do what she couldn't do. She knew she had to do her part because the baby depended on her. But she knew that she had to depend on God to do his part. And I think we miss that sometimes today. We grow up in a society where we all think that our part is the part that matters and your part does matter, but it depends on more than you. There's no parent out there that can raise their child and give their child eternal life unless they teach their child to depend on God. And verse 10 tells us, as the child grew, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. I think about the different times in Jochebed's life, from deciding to keep him, to deciding she couldn't keep him, but maybe I'll put him in a basket, and I'll depend on God to put him where he needs to be, and Pharaoh's daughter keeps coming down to here, and so this is what I'm going to do. And she depending on God to be able to take care of things, as she let that basket go and that child floated over in the reeds, not knowing if there would be some kind of crocodile that would come up, something that would happen, depending on God, seeing God do that. But then that day she took that child back to Pharaoh's house herself and said, here, I brought my child back to you. Well, that's really dependent on God, isn't it? Guess who knew all those things she did? Moses knew those things she did. You see, she had to prove her actions to Moses. That's what we call faith. She had faith in God, didn't she? Faith in God's providence is what she had. She had to prove her actions by what she was doing. She was depending on God, but that's the example of faith. Providence, and I'll take the liberty of looking up this word. We talk about God's providence. Providence is foresight or making provision beforehand. God's providence is his act of providing for or sustaining something or someone by his knowledge beforehand of what's going to happen. When we have faith in God's providence, he tells us we can actually endure anything. We'll actually see his providence when we have faith in it. Jochebed had faith in God's providence. So she was able to see God's providence. She was able to see God work all these things out. Now, I gave you the second passage, and we'll close with this passage, Hebrews chapter 11. The writer of Hebrews expresses a chapter here that we call that chapter of faith. It's the roll call of faith in the Bible. If you begin reading, you'll see this roll call of faith. But we come to a portion, a section of this scripture in verses 23 through 27. That actually talk about the subject we're talking about today. It talks about Moses. And I want you to see, as we read in verse 23, it says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months by his parents. Now, do you see what I see? You see, it says that there was more than just his mother that had faith. You see parents there? It was plural. You see, God designed that child to be raised by two parents, his mother and his father. They each contribute in that child's development and growth. But they each made a decision. They both had faith. It says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents. They made a decision. Before we start thinking, hey, I would rather be a parent on my own. Or listen, I don't want to have a husband or I don't have a wife. And that's this deluded idea that we have today. I want to have a child, but I don't want to have a spouse. God didn't make it that way. Right. Understand, sometimes it happens that way. And God will provide, but you don't intentionally go out designing it that way. You're going against God's order. Listen, they both had faith. It was by faith they made the initial decision after they discovered the child was a male child. To kill the child would go against what God wanted, so they trusted God to take the next step. The next step was when she put him in a basket. But I want to go back to something here, you see, because I want you to understand something key. When we begin to read verse 23, it says, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents. When we go down through this roll call of faith in Hebrews 11, we'll think, okay, by faith Moses. No, by faith Moses was, when he was born, was hid. This is not talking about Moses' faith. It's talking about his parents' faith. You see, before, this is big, before Moses could be an example on the pages here of faith, we had to hear about his parents' faith. This is big. Don't miss it, okay? You see, when his parents decided to do this, there was no guarantee that the outcome that they had to trust in God to do something was actually going to come true. They had to depend on God because the child was depending on them. When we read verses 24 through 27, which I want you to read, we're going to see this great faith in God was also something that Moses had when he became a man. Listen to the rest of this portion of Scripture. Hebrews 11, verse 24 through 27. The Bible says, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches, greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. It goes on to tell you, by faith he did these things. By faith he kept the Passover. By faith he observed the sprinkling of the blood, which was making sacrifices. Moses, a Hebrew in Egypt and throughout his life, observed what God said do. And we put Moses on a pedestal, and we should. It's a patriarch. But Moses had to learn it somewhere. Let's don't miss the big picture. He grew up in Egypt. If Moses grew up in Egypt, all these things that he continued to keep, where did he learn them? He laid on his mother's breast. Will you nurse this child for me? You know how big that passage of scripture is? Will you nurse this child? You know what happens through a mother? Dependence is taught. And as she's giving dependence, he's depending, she's teaching. You don't need to depend on me. You don't need to depend on me. But see, that's the travesty. Today, parents are teaching their kids they do need to depend on him. We want the glorious parents. Well, listen, I'll do this for you. I'll do this for you. Listen, I'll take you here. I'll buy you this. I'll involve you in this. We'll spend all this time. And what happens is we don't teach the child they don't need to depend on us. They need to depend on God because we're dependent on God. For all those years I had it wrong. I wanted my children to think, well, Daddy will make sure nothing's going to hurt you. Daddy's going to work so you're always going to be provided. I want Daddy to be the person in your life you think is the end all be all. He can do anything. And listen, it dawned on me one day, Daddy, me, I'm going to be gone. Then who are they going to think handles it? It's never been on my best day that I was able to make a dime for them that God didn't give me strength and energy to get out of bed and go to work. It's never a day that I fought through something to do that God didn't give me some kind of cognitive thought. He put in my mind the same way he did Jochebed's to do what she was going to do. You see, I realized, yes, I want my kids to know they can depend on me, but I failed in my position if in that dependence I don't tell them and show them that the only way they can depend on me is if I depend on God. Amen. You see, somebody taught Moses he had to depend on God. Amen, right? Moses led a million people out of bondage and changed the history of the world forever. And we say, look at Moses. And I say, where'd Moses learn it? Moses depended on someone who depended on God. We hear about the parents' faith before we hear about Moses' faith. Don't you think it's odd? If you read this passage of Scripture and you read verse 23 that says, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months because they saw he was a proper child, listen, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Don't you think it's odd that as soon as you go down to verse 28 or verse 27, you read, by faith Moses, he forsook Egypt, turned his back on Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. Listen to this. They were not afraid of the king's commandment, verse 23. Verse 27, we see that Moses forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. Does that sound familiar to you? Moses didn't fear the wrath of the king because his parents didn't fear the wrath of the king. The Bible tells us here that Moses had learned that if someone was depending on him, he had to depend on God. God, that we could learn that today. That we could apply it. That we could be humble enough to say, we don't want the glory for this, God. Let my kids see you instead of me. Let me teach them to depend on you. Let me show them where we're going to be at every time we have a chance to be there. Let me show them what we're going to read in our homes. Let me show them who we're going to celebrate. Let me show them what we won't allow because God doesn't like it. Let me show them that. Let me show them that we depend on you, God. Oh, can you imagine the revival that would happen in this country? Can you imagine what would happen in marriages? See, the Bible tells even the order there, that man, for him to have authority in his own home, spiritual authority, he needs to get his authority from God. Man ain't smart enough to know anything. We are not. Amen. Amen. Man better be following God. I love verse 27 says, Moses endured as seeing him who is invisible. ask you a hypothetical question. Do you think there's any way Jochebed would have known? Think about this. All those things she was going through in her mind. Every night for those 3 months that she wondered if she would be found out. When she made that basket and let it go and hoping. Before she took Moses back to the palace not knowing what was going to happen to this adolescent child. Do you think she knew what was going to happen? Smart as we think we are, we don't know. We have to see and believe in something that's invisible. Don't you know? The Bible says in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he won't depart from it.
Right.
You know what that's teaching us? We train them who to depend on, because somebody is going to depend on them. If you want to see why we have a societal degradation in trust in God, why you see in a society today that we've put them aside is because it hasn't been taught from generation to generation that we need to depend on God. It's been taught that we need to depend on ourselves. So what a great day to bring this up.
Amen.
And mothers, what an esteemed position that you get to do first. You see, at the end of this section of Scripture in Hebrews 11, it says that Moses endured, which means that Moses kept going. He kept having faith in God's power and God's provision in spite of the obstacles that he could clearly see. He kept trusting in the invisible God. Well, here's the Red Sea. Never seen a sea be moved out of the way before, right? Stand back. And watch what I do. Is that what he said? Nah. Watch what God does. Man, what a laughing stock he would have been as he held up his staff there and nothing would have happened. Well, it's going to do it. You know, maybe. I don't know what we're going to do. No. He depended on God. And God said he held the water back and they walked through in dust. And then God said, oh, your enemies are coming. Let me take care of them. He depended on God, and God never let him down. Where did he learn that? He learned it from a mom that depended on God, even when things were invisible. You see, we overcomplicate it sometimes. Paul said, not Paul, the writer of Hebrews, and I think it's Paul, but I'm not going to debate that right now. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
Yes.
Get what we're talking about, how big it is here. Faith, real faith, which we're told in this same chapter here, without faith it's impossible to please God. Real faith is depending on God when you can't see the end result. And that's what we're judged on? Yes. That's total trust. For me to say, I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Savior, when I didn't see Him die on the cross, and I've never seen heaven, and I've never seen hell. But understand, it's not just something that crossed my mind one day. God Himself wanted me to trust, so He works in my heart.
Amen.
And He let me see at a young age that I couldn't raise myself. I depended on my mother first. And I don't remember all of that. I don't remember being that little, but I know that as I began to remember, I saw people that took care of me that I depended on. And then I saw as I got older, I depended on this person. And so I start learning dependence. For me to make a snap in my mind and say, I don't need anybody anymore, then I would sound like the king that made the decree that forgot that Joseph depended on God. Do you see how it comes full circle?
Amen.
What position are you in today? Who do you really depend on? We look around today and we see that man is so dependent on his own intellect, on his own provisions, on his own society. Don't you think this thing we're going through right now should humble everybody to know that all of a sudden what you thought you depended on, the switch could just be turned off? Listen, doesn't matter if it's turned off. If you depended on God, you've still got everything. He's got a plan for you. He's going to get you through this. Maybe it's just dependence that we needed to see instead of independence. If you've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, today is a day that you can say, God, you know, I depend throughout my life on other things. And why in the world would I think that I can depend on myself for my eternal life? I have to depend on you. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. You can't come to God except by me. Today, you can accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You know what your salvation depends on? What He did. He went to the cross. He became a sacrifice for our sin because all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And what does He say? If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, what are you confessing? God, I can't get to you because of my sin. I'm confessing who I am, and I'm confessing who Jesus is. I'm believing the invisible, and I'm trusting the invisible. That's faith. That's dependence on God. Your whole eternity is based on it. And then once you accept the Lord Jesus Christ, you have a peace in knowing, I don't know what's going to happen to the basket when I let it go. I don't know what's going to happen when it's in the reeds. I don't know what's going to happen when I go through this stage in my life and I have to give this child back. But think about this, parent, you've never known. If you depended on yourself, you might have guessed sometimes and been right, but you've never known. But God's providence, He knows. And He says, trust in me, depend on me. That's the peace of God that I walk with today. And you can walk with that peace. I walked a lot of years without it. But I'm going to ask you today, who you depend on? Who are your children depending on? And tell you that somebody is depending on you. If you want for someone to depend on you, you have to depend on God. Right. Father God, I love you and I praise you and I thank you, Lord, for who you are. And I thank you, God, for the message you've given today. I pray, God, that you would continue to speak, Lord, during this invitation. I pray, Lord, if there's someone here that's never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, someone listening today that's never accepted that gift of salvation, God, I pray speak to them today and let them see they can't depend upon themselves. They have to reach out and depend on you. You made every provision for us. You even made us in such a natural way that we have to learn that we depend on other people, Lord, so that we can know that we have to depend on you. And God, for those Christians, Lord, sometimes we can forget. Sometimes we get away from you, Lord. We can forget. You remind us today, Lord, that we have to depend on you. Lord, as hearts are rekindled today and as your children are looking up at you as the righteous and loving Father, God, listen to the prayers of your children today during this time as your children rededicate their lives. As we thank you, Lord, and know that we can depend on you. I pray, God, that you would just speak, Lord, right now to husbands and wives. Speak to parents. Speak to friends. Speak to co-workers, to brothers and sisters, Lord, everybody who's in a position where someone's depending on them, and let them be able to see if they're really depending on you. God, move us from a position, Lord, to a closer position with you today. In Jesus' name, amen.